Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, continuing with the principles of devotion. We heard about Urja Brata yesterday, Damodar Brat. And this is the 60th principle of devotional service. Attachment to serving the lotus feet of the deity. Attachment to serving the lotus feet of the deity. Shri Murtir Angri Sevana Priti Mama Nava Sada Grahi Mama Seva Priya Sada Bhaktis Tasmai Pradatavya Natu Mukti Kadachana. This is from Adi Puran. Krishna is telling, I give bhakti and never liberation to the person who is always engaged in chanting my name and serving me as the goal in his life. So this term is there, Seva Priya. Jiva Goswami is saying that this term, Seva Priya, means to take one's service to the Lord as one's goal in life. Hare Krishna. Hare Bhama. Sarvabhama, right? Yeah. So this is a principle devotion number 60. Attachment to serving the lotus feet of the deity. Shri Murti Angri Sevana Priti. Priti means love, to have love for serving the feet of the deity. So that's a nice level of devotion. That's number 60 out of 64. And different devotees around the world, they have their deity. And if devotees don't have a deity, then everyone has the holy name. The holy name is Radha Krishna right in our hand, right in our heart. So wherever we go, we can worship them and have developed love for the holy name, especially to be attached. When we have priti, because Rupa Goswami in this verse, he's describing Sri Murti Angri, that means lotus feet Angri of the Murti, Sevana Priti. Priti means love, attachment. When you love someone and you feel that the person is yours, my husband, my wife, my girlfriend, boyfriend, whatever. So we also have the idea of my deity. If someone has deities, they say this is my deity, my Krishna, my Giriraj, my Shalagram. It's a natural condition of human mind to feel possessive towards those we love or to someone or something we love. So this is priti. Priti means a sense of possessiveness. And this is very healthy, to feel that Krishna is mine, my deity. Of course, in the highest level, this is how Radharani feels. It's called Madhya Bhav. Madhya Bhav. That Bhav or feeling that Krishna is mine. When we hear from great devotees that Chandravali, Radharani's rival, Sakhi, rival Gopi, she has a mood of Twadiya Bhav. That I belong to Krishna. I am Krishna's. I don't really own Krishna because Krishna has so many other girlfriends, so many other gopis. But I'm one of them. I'm one of those gopis, and I belong to Krishna. But Radharani is thinking that Krishna is mine, and nobody else's. He's 100% mine. No one else controls Krishna. No one else has Krishna but me. And that's a fact. That's the quality of Radharani, that she fully controls Krishna by her love. Now the 61st limb of devotion mentioned here, these last five, 61 through 64, 1, 2, 3, and 4, these are some of the five most important limbs of devotion. So this number 60 is also one of them. When it's described, there's so many ways we can serve Krishna, so many limbs of devotion. Then Prahlad Maharaj in 7th canto Bhagavatam, he says there's 9 Navada Bhakti, Navada Anga. There are 9 limbs of devotion, 9 forms of expressing one's love. There's 9 ways to express one's love towards God. There's unlimited ways, but 9 basic ways. Shravanam and Kirtanam, Smaranam, Padasevanam. Hearing about the Lord, remembering Him, worshipping His form, praying to Him, offering prayers and poetry to glorify Him, making friends with Him and serving Him like a servant, becoming His surrendered most intimate confidant. So these last five, number 60, it says, we read Sri Murti Angri, Sri Murti Angri Sevane Priti. So this is one of the most five most important limbs of bhakti. Sri Murti Shraddha Seva. Sometimes it's mentioned we should serve the Murti form of the Lord or the deity of the Lord with great faith and love. So now the second most important thing is Sri Bhagavat. Bhagavat Artha Swaro. Swaro means taste and art means meaning. Value meaning worth and the Srimad Bhagavatam. We should taste the meaning of the Bhagavatam. Relishing the Bhagavatam. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he explains that Bhagavat Shravan Rasika Bhakta Sahasanga. We should Bhagavat Shravan, we should hear the Srimad Bhagavatam Saha with in the association of Rasik Vaishnavas. This means a very rare opportunity, but when we meet very advanced and elevated devotees and we hear the Bhagavatam from them, it's very powerful and very has a transformational effect. It attracts our minds and hearts. Of course, it purifies us, but moreover, it fills us with a special sweetness because the sweetness of the devotee's heart is mixed in the speech that he delivers. So if the heart is very sweet, if the heart is softened, if the heart is softened by various bhavas and flavors of love for Krishna, then when he speaks, that softness of his heart and those flavors of his love will come in his speech. And that's the rasa, the bhakti rasa that he's experiencing, or she or whomever. So when they speak on Bhagavatam, then you not only hear the stories from Bhagavatam or hear the leelas, Krishna's leela, but you drink the rasa, the bhakti rasa of the devotee's heart, which is being conveyed through the medium of speech or sound, shabda. So that's why it's saying here, it's a very interesting word, and there's a verse to support this concept. Rupa Goswami says the 61st limb of devotion is Sri Bhagavat Artho Swado. Bhagavat Art Swado. Swad means tasting. Generally, this is a Hindi word also, swad, means to taste or to drink. So tasting, usually you taste food or you taste liquids, juices, and fruits. But to taste a book, usually you don't taste a book. You read a book, it entertains your mind with the ideas or the drama or the emotions contained in those pages. You exercise your eyes and reading the letters of the on the page. But tasting, your eyes are involved and your mind is involved reading and thinking and your heart is involved feeling the storyline or identifying with the drama or the leela. But your tongue is involved tasting. So this is what he's saying here. Rupa Goswami is saying tasting the Bhagavatam. Relishing the Bhagavatam. We should taste the Bhagavatam. Taste with our heart, taste with our mind, taste with our senses. All of our senses should become absorbed in the Bhagavatam. This is possible, depending how much we've submitted to the Bhagavatam, how much we've made the Bhagavat our way of life, then we can actually enter there by submission, by surrender. He quotes a famous verse from Bhagavatam right in the very beginning where Rupa Goswami begins the Srimad Bhagavatam by trying to sell the product. Now you're opening this book and you begin to read it and you say, what am I reading? What's it all about? And the first verse he says, this book is all about God. Janmad yasya yataha. It's all about the creator, the originator of everything. And then they say, okay, it's a book about God. Param Satyam Chadimahi. And it's a book full of Satyam. It's a book of truth, knowledge. And what more? And when he gets to the third verse in the first chapter, then he says, this book is a fruit. It's not a book. You thought you had a book in your hands, and you thought you were reading a book, but actually you have a mango in your hands. You have a ripened mango in your hands. Acha. And this is an interesting transformation. Either you're a hypnotist, or I'm intoxicated, or somehow I'm in some altered state of consciousness where you've convinced me that this book is a mango. In other words, in some states of consciousness, one object can become another object, and it can transform right before your eyes. And some of you maybe had that experience. But Nigama Kalpatura Galitam Phalam Shukamukat Amrita Drava Samdutam Pipita Bhagavatam Rasa Alayam Mahumaraho Rasika Bhuvi Bhavuka. O expert and thoughtful men, relish the Srimad Bhagavatam, says Shukadeva, the mature fruit of the desired tree of Vedic literatures. It emanated from the lips of Shukadeva Goswami. Therefore, this fruit has become even more tasteful, although its nectar and juice was already relishable for all, including liberated souls. So the author of the book and the speaker of the book that we're holding in our hands, and after the third sentence of the book, the third verse of the book, he's telling us that you have a fruit in your hands. And it's not a raw fruit, it's a ripened fruit. And it's the best fruit on the whole tree. The tree has many fruits. The tree of knowledge, very common analogy in religious scriptures and Adam and Eve and all these trees and fruits and forbidden fruits and all these things. The tree of knowledge. So the tree of knowledge, we say knowledge can be, little knowledge is a dangerous thing. So, but not a little knowledge of God is good. But if you have knowledge of bombs, a little bit of knowledge of bombs, but not the proper consciousness, and you make a bomb and blow up a building and kill some people, that's not a very good application of your knowledge. So little knowledge can be a very dangerous thing without the backing of proper consciousness and the proper moral outlook to implement that knowledge. So then, of course, Jiva Goswami gives a very elaborate purport to this verse, breaking down all the different words and what it means and all these different things. And I really don't want to go into all that, but the idea is that if you read it, it basically describes that this is it's very convincing. This Bhagavatam is much more than a book. It's Krishna Sarup. It's the very form of God in its most beautiful and sweet aspect, charming aspect, Krishna Vrindavan, Shamsundar. And he is sweet, and everything about Krishna is sweet. And the stories of Krishna are sweet, and all his friends are very sweet, relishable, satisfying. It's full of rasa. And those that are fortunate, they can find so much satisfaction reading this Bhagavatam that they don't want to read any other literature. Because if you have the best thing, then you don't look for anything else. Don't look for a second thing. If you go out and buy the best possible wristwatch, I don't know, whatever that might be, I really don't know. But say you go out and spend, a lot of money on a costly wristwatch, then you're satisfied. I have the best. I bought the best. Why? You don't have to look anymore. You know you have the best. So Bhagavatam is that best literature, that most fulfilling and satisfying literature that not only educates us about reality, what is the nature of reality. So it's an education. It's a form of education, enlightenment. Most importantly, Bhagavatam satisfies the deepest needs of the heart. The deepest needs of the heart are satisfied by the Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam is Krishna, and Radha and Krishna, disguising themselves as verses. Radha and Krishna are appearing in a disguise. Like someone may appear in a disguise. Might be a very wealthy man, but he may disguise himself as a poor man. And then he comes and says, I'm very poor, and but I have this bag here. I just want to give you this bag, this paper bag. You take this bag. And you say, this poor man, he's very poor. He gave me this bag. Okay, I go home. I open the bag and it's a bag full of jewels or money or whatever. I said, this poor man gave me, he disguised. So Radha and Krishna have disguised themselves as a book, as the Srimad Bhagavatam, as these verses, these Sanskrit shlokas. When we read these verses, we start to understand, wait a minute, this is not a book. This is a person. And these are not verses, but these are leelas, and this is the living Lord. The living Lord alive in the drama of his Leela. And I'm taking part in this Leela by reading this book. And it's dripping with sweetness and fulfillment and satisfies the deepest hankering of my heart when I read this book, especially when I read the pastimes and leelas of Krishna in the 10th canto. There's some inner yearning I've had for millions of lifetimes has finally found its satisfaction in reading these sweet and charming pastimes of Krishna Vrindavan, his childhood pastimes, or his pastimes of the gopis. So this is a point that this verse itself, which is a comment on, it says that he says, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. He says, Pibata Bhagavatam Rasa, Bhagavat Ras Pibata. Pibata means pio, to drink. Drink. Pibata Bhagavatam Rasam Alayam. Alayam means, and this is very interesting, Alayam means until death, or even after attaining the bliss of moksha or Brahmananda, one should relish the ambrosia of bhakti ras in the Bhagavatam. So we have this term pralaya. Payodi, pralaya. You know, this verse is there in Dritavan, Asivedam. In the Jayadeva Goswami's Mangalacharan of Gita Govinda, it says pralaya. Pralaya. Pralaya means destruction. Pralaya. So alaya means, you can read Bhagavatam until you're destroyed, or after you're destroyed, or any time. And by reading Bhagavatam also, it will actually destroy anything that's non-godly in us. Anartha-nivritti. Anything that's ungodly within us. Nashta-prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata-sevya. Bhagavad-yutamashloke bhakti-bhavati-nashtaki. So anything which is ungodly or unfortunate within us. Because we are born with fortune in our hands, and we are born with misfortune in our hands. We have good qualities, and we all have good qualities and some bad qualities also. Some assets and some deficits. By reading Bhagavatam, Alayam, Pralaya, all the bad things are destroyed. Nashta prayeshu, abhadreshu. Anything is abhadra, inauspicious, nashta, destroyed. And all good things, which is the, you can say, minute, the very minute capacity of Ananda Shakti in the heart. We have Ananda. We don't have Ladini, Satchitananda. We have the most minute capacity in the heart to express joy. The divine principle of joy or love or ecstasy is present in the heart of the jiva in a reflected way, in a very minute way. It's called Anuchit. Anuchit means an atom of consciousness. Anuchit. There's Vibhuchit and Anuchit. Vibhuchit is the unlimited consciousness of the Supreme. God is unlimited consciousness. And Anuchit means we're like a spark of that consciousness. So we have some spark of capacity, spark-like capacity in our hearts, in our very inherent to our being, the ability to express love and be loved. And that has its, if that minute, say, chit-shakti or anuchit, if it mixes with bhava-bhakti, or mixes with the ladini-shakti, the divine pleasure potency of the Lord, if that potency mixes along with samvit, which is called bhakti, bhakti is a shakti, a power, a potency, a divine potency, a spiritual potency. And bhakti has two divisions, the knowledge, the wisdom to perceive God, the ability and wisdom to see God, to know God, to relate to God, to establish intimacy with God. This is called samvit. And then ladini. Ladini means the ability to drink ras, the ability to experience divine rapture in an intimate, loving relationship with God. So these combine together to form what is called bhakti. Ladini, the love potency, divine bliss potency, and samvit. Samvit, knowledge potency, wisdom, and divine bliss or divine love. So this potency descends from the hearts of the liberated, or the hearts of the divine beings, or the heart of the Lord. This power, like the sun rays, they come from so far, I don't know how far, but the scientists say long way, 93 million miles or something. A ray of sun will come down and will shine on our face and warm our face and tan our skin. If you get, you know, in the West, you get suntan, right? You get suntan. So that ray is coming from so far, but it's touching us, and it's mixing up with us and creating some change in us, bringing some health, producing some vitamins or some color change. It's only a ray. So prem amshu. When an amshu, a ray of prem, coming as bhava bhakti, descends from the Lord or his associates, then that comes all the way from the hearts of the eternal associates of the Lord, all the way from the spiritual world. Golokara Premadana Harinam Sankirtan. This Goloka Prem, this Bhava Bhakti, this Bhakti, descends like a ray and it comes into the heart. And that ray of bhakti is received by the Ananda portion, the Anuchit, that minute portion of Ananda Shakti, Sachit Ananda, in the heart of the living entity, and then it expands our capacity. Without the contact of that ray of bhakti, we can never experience love of God. Bhakti comes from outside of us. It comes by the mercy of the Lord and his devotees. Brahmanda Brahmatekon, Bhagyavana Jeev, Guru Krishna Prasadi Pai, Bhakti Lata Bij. This is a gift. We have the capacity, but it must be ignited. It's like you have gunpowder. And gunpowder can make an explosion, but it needs a spark. Has potential. But without the catalyst or without that spark, it will never express its potential. And it, inherently to itself, it cannot explode. Gunpowder, but like you put the fuse on the firecracker and it explodes. So this allium, Jiva Goswami is saying, is like this. We should drink this until we drop. As people do sometimes. They have experience. So he's saying that we should drink this sweet nectar rasa of Bhagavatam until we drop out of this material world. But drink till you drop. So pipitam, this Srimad Bhagavatam rasam, pipitam Bhagavatam rasam aliyam. Aliyam means pralaya, destruction. So you should drink the Bhagavatam, the Bhagavat Ras, the sweet nectarine descriptions of Krishna's leelas and pastimes. We should drink it until we drop. It means we drop out. We drop out of this material world. Tune in, drop out, and turn on, whatever they call it. I don't know. Is that it? Tune in, drop out, turn on. So we drop out of this material world. We drop out of material consciousness. We tune into the Astakali Leela of Radha and Krishna, and then we drop into the eternal pastimes of the Lord, and we serve them eternally in our siddhadeya, our spiritual body, which is saturated with blissful mellows of devotion. So this purport is really long. The time is really short. So I'm just summarizing very briefly the purport, 6-page purport about each word. The basic idea that we want to get a jolt into, the idea is read the Bhagavatam. That's basically the conclusion here. That we, some of us do, some of us don't. Some of us read occasionally. So it's just like drinkers. Some people drink occasionally. Social drinkers. Some drink on the weekends. Some don't drink at all. And some are, you know, some are alcoholics. Some are like constantly drunk. I remember my mother; she was a daily worshiper of the sacred bottle. But she wasn't drinking the Bhagavatam exactly. But it's kind of something else. But that was her ritual. She was religious about her practices. But we are encouraged by the great sages to every day hear the Srimad Bhagavatam and relish the most divine, pure form of ras. And it has certainly, it's very, there's no side effects to drinking this ras, at least deleterious or harmful side effects. You don't get a bad liver. Rather, it's very good for the heart. It's a good heart tonic. It's not bad for the liver, and it's very good for the heart. And of course, the real thing is that it's such a tonic, it's such an amrit, that you become eternal. You don't become eternal by drinking whiskey. But you become eternal by drinking the rasa of the Bhagavatam. So this is what, this is the 61st limb of devotion. Second canto is also glorifying. Maybe a couple more verses about this practice of Bhagavat Artha Swad. There's other verses in the second canto where it says, and gradually you come, you go all the way up to Bhava by reading about Tada Rajas Tamo Bhava, Tado Rajas Tamo Bhava. You come out of, by continuing reading the Bhagavatam, practically destroyed means, well, you come out of ignorance, you go to passion, and passion, you go to goodness. Well, goodness is still the contamination. But then the second canto, it says it takes you from goodness to ruchi to bhava. So eventually, there's also verses that say that it takes you all the way to bhava. So that's, those are the good verses. We don't want to settle with practically destroys the nil, because practically means there's room for backsliding. There's room for sliding back. And that's a fact. Until we come to bhava, there's room for sliding back, and even in bhava, they can slide back. But the chances are quite nil at the level of bhava to slide back. Backslide, as they say. But in an Artha Nivritti course, that's obvious. Anishta may become anishta, anishtita. And ruchi, sometimes we still have taste for other things that can rise up. When bhava sakti, then it's very, very firm, and bhava, it's pretty settled at that time. This is from the second canto, I'm glorifying the same point. Parinishito pi nairgunye uttama shloka lilaya grihita cheta rajarshe akyanam yat aditavan. Bhagavatam is saying, Sukadev is telling Parikshit, O king, I was situated perfectly in transcendence. In other words, Sukadev Goswami is telling his biography here to the king. He said, you should know something about me, about who I am. What is my biodata? What is my qualifications? I was Brahmavadi. I was absorbed in Brahman. I was transcendental. I was naked. I didn't see anything. I was beyond all duality. It was all one. I didn't see any distinctions, man, woman, anything. And even people would see me, they'd not become disturbed, because I understood I was simply radiating. I was not radiating any kind of designation. I was not radiating or emanating any kind of lust or greed or envy or anything. I was just emanating the most brilliant tej and effulgence. And people would just see me as a neutral, moving entity, a moving Brahman. So men would not be disturbed, women would not be disturbed. Women would be naked, bathing naked in a river. And I would walk by and they wouldn't even look. They wouldn't feel shy. They would just like a cloud passing in the sky. If you're lying in your backyard or sitting in your backyard with no clothes or... Well, people do sometimes. And a cloud passes overhead. You don't think, oh, I better go run and get my clothes. Just like, okay, cloud. So when Sukadeva Goswami was passing along the roadway, it was like this. No one was disturbed. So he's saying, I was like this, but still I became attracted by hearing the pastimes of the Lord, who was described by enlightened verses. So the background is that Sukadeva Goswami ran away from home, and he was absorbed in his own inner samadhi, Brahma samadhi. But then some of the students of his father was a great lover of Bhagavatam, Vyasadeva, he wrote the Bhagavatam. His father sent some students out to speak some verses in the forest. Because Sukadeva had repaired to the forest, he was engaged in meditation. And he was quite absorbed in his samadhi, of Brahman, Brahmavadi. And these disciples of Vyasadeva started reciting some verses. Not even as told what verses, it slips in my mind right now. But one verse is about the beautiful form of Krishna. They were speaking about Krishna so beautiful with long flowing black hair and lotus eyes and beautiful yellow dhoti and peacock feather on his hair and everything. Like this, a very unique appearance and very beautiful. And Sukadeva heard that, and somehow tweaked his brain, and he became attracted to those descriptions. And then he came to them and said, who are you? What are you speaking here? This is something very amazing. He said, oh, you'll come back and your father will tell you more. And his father told him the Bhagavatam. So Vishwanath is telling that he says, that Sukadeva was fixed in realization of Brahman from birth. Yet he left his house and wandered about. He didn't want to learn anything from his father. So here he's saying that the past, that Sukadeva is saying, I was fixed in Brahman, but my heart was attracted by Krishna's pastimes. So I myself am proof that the pastimes of the Lord are sweeter than the realization of Brahman. So the pastimes of the Lord is Brahmanand and Premanand. Pastimes of the Lord are Premanand. They're saturated with the bliss of Prem, that intimate sweetness that's only available in a personal relationship with Krishna. But Brahmanand, that's a great, unbelievable bliss to experience Brahmanand. But even the bliss of Brahmanand is, as Rupa Goswami says elsewhere, the bliss of Brahmanand can only compare to a drop in the ocean of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, the ocean of the bliss of Bhakti Ras. So tomorrow we'll begin the 62nd point about association with like-minded, affectionate devotees. This is a very important point when choosing association, which is so much important for us to advance. Sajati and Snigdha.